Hello, welcome to Pharma Marketing Talk. This is your host, Pharma Guy, also known as John Mack. And today my guest is Brian Fox, who's the senior partner at McKinsey & Company. And we're going to be talking about the new ebook entitled Pharma 3D, Rewriting the Script for Marketing in the Digital Age. And I want to welcome Brian. Hi, how you doing, Brian?
I'm great. Thanks very much for having me.
Sure. To start off with, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself, and then we can get right into talking about the book.
Sure. I'd be happy to. So as you mentioned, I'm a senior partner at McKinsey & Company, and I am the leader of our marketing practice globally in pharmaceuticals and medical products. So that means that I have the pleasure of working with both branded and generic pharmaceutical companies, medical products and medical device companies, and many other pharma services. In that role, I have had the opportunity to work on pretty much all elements of pharma commercial, whether it be marketing, sales, managed markets, or any of the other related topics that are so important to driving brand growth.
Why don't you start maybe by giving a little short introduction to the book? It's a project, it sounds like, not just a book. Who participated in it, how it came about? After that, we'll get into some more detail.
Well, Pharma 3D is an ebook that that anyone can go and read at www.pharma3d.com, and it's written for pharma leaders who are looking to increase the growth of their brands or franchises. And we know that that's critical in pharma today, since the industry's net revenue growth last year, I guess on a global basis, was only 1%. Of course, the media likes to talk about a rampant growth in pharma revenues, but that's really on a gross basis. On a net basis, it's much more flat. And we know that we can't blame that slow growth on pipelines, since many pharma companies have done a great job in the past few years at revitalizing their pipelines. And last year, in fact, the FDA approved more new drugs than ever before. Recognizing that, we at McKinsey got together with healthcare leaders at Google and some top thinkers at the Wharton School and decided to create a how-to guide for improving commercial performance within pharma, taking those new drugs and trying to get the most out of them commercially. And that is what became Pharma 3D. So along the way in writing that book, we started talking with other leading thinkers in the industry at Twitter, at Facebook, at leading ad agencies, at Pharmacos, at other marketing services companies. And everyone had stories to tell about brands that were really getting things right in their marketing, really making effective connections with patients and physicians. And so we invited them to contribute their experiences to the book, too. Some wrote case studies, and some were interviewed, and we included videos of those interviews in the ebook. And I think in total there's maybe 20 videos in the book, over two dozen case studies, and then 30 what we call sidebars, which are additional facts or perspectives on concepts introduced in the main text of the book. And some of this comes from the three authors and our own research, but much of this comes from other partners in the industry who are at the coal face of helping pharma companies improve the way that they market and connect. And since it's an ebook, we can include all these things in a very interactive way that's easily accessible to readers. As you mentioned, it is a bit more of a project than maybe a static book. We plan to make the ebook a living document and updating it regularly with more examples and perspectives, because this is not an industry that's standing still by any means.
Right. It's very interesting, the people that you had, give their opinions and case studies. I know a couple of them, and I've interviewed them before, and sometimes they have even been recipients of my coveted Hawaiian shirt award for their digital experiences in the pharmaceutical industry. Let's talk about that, because this digital is the main focus of this book, about how the industry is not up to par using digital. And I think it was mentioned that McKinsey Research found that companies with advanced digital capabilities grow revenues twice as fast as peers and deliver 25% greater total returns to shareholders annually. Can you talk a little bit more about that research?
I'd be happy to. So we have a diagnostic tool that we've developed called the Digital Quotient, which measures companies' digital maturity across 18 different dimensions that are related to the company's culture, its strategy, its capabilities, its organization, its talent. And so it's not isolated just to marketing and marketing mix, but it looks more broadly at the company's overall digital maturity. And we've done this assessment, or used this tool, with hundreds of companies across industries, you know, many in pharma, but tons and tons outside of pharma as well. And we found, as you mentioned, that companies that score better on this digital maturity measure consistently outperform their peers on both revenue growth and on returns to shareholders. By the way, the other thing that we've found is that when we compare across industries, pharma is towards the bottom when it comes to digital maturity on average. Of course, there are some outliers, there are some great performers, et cetera, but it's generally towards the bottom when it comes to digital maturity. And in addition, other industries are investing much more to improve their digital maturity than pharma is, which creates an ongoing cycle where those more mature industries get more and more mature and sort of leave us in pharma a little bit more behind. So I think there's a big opportunity for pharma to improve its growth and profitability by investing in digital capabilities and processes, but that's not necessarily the same as allocating more marketing dollars to digital channels. The opportunity there will be greater or lesser depending on the specific brand and its context.
You mentioned that pharma has currently is in a slow growth mode that doesn't have anything to do with pipelines, and so maybe digital can help them get a better return on their investment or better connect with patients, at least. And I know you talk a little bit about that in the book, but you also talk about the pharma industry, its mix of marketing channels that it uses, or the money that it invests in those channels, is sort of out of sync with how consumers and people are using those channels to get information. And you had a chart up there. Can you give a little background about that finding?
I think part of that, what's behind that question a little bit, I think you've observed that, you know, it may not be that customers of pharma reflect the broader digital usage in, I guess, the economy as a whole. So let me address that directly as well. First, I'd like to be clear about what Pharma 3D is and is not, and then I'll dig deeper into that, you know, more of the demographic match issue. So first, Pharma 3D, it's not about all the reasons that pharma companies should be doing more, spending more in digital channels. What it is it is about helping brands get better at discovering what's important to the patients and physicians that relate to that brand when they're making decisions about care. It's about designing commercial initiatives that serve those needs, and it's about making the organizational changes and investments required to deliver on those initiatives consistently and in ways that continuously improve. So those are the three Ds: discover, design, and deliver. And it's really about the methodology for discovering, designing, and delivering that we focus on. And for many brands, that may result in more digital investment, more investment in digital media channels. Since digital tools and technologies are an increasing part of many people's lives, but that's certainly not a universal truth. It really depends, as I mentioned, on the nature of the brand and its therapeutic area, and of course its you know, the behaviors of its prescribers and its patient mix and its payer context, et cetera. But that's the point, is that a brand needs to discover what's really important to each of those decision makers or each of those influencers, design effective marketing strategies based on those insights, and then be able to deliver consistently and in a way that continuously improves on that design. So, okay. So that's a little bit about what Pharma 3D is. To address your question more specifically about pharma's spend mix or media mix relative to the broader population, I think you're absolutely right that pharma serves a different population, at least demographically, than the population as a whole, if you look at it from the broadest perspective. But I'd make two points about that. First of all, generalizing, and as we all know in this industry, is very dangerous because, you know, you do have some brands that their primary target is actually millennials, and then you have other brands that are, of course, targeted towards folks that are at a different life stage. But if we want to say that most drugs go to folks that are a little bit on the older set, you know, we should look at that. And digital for the older set as well, and you know I think there is relevance for digital media for the older set. Based on some of the statistics that I've seen recently, I think something like 42% of Facebook users are over the age of 40, and over half of seniors in the U.S. are online. And I also read that 30 or 31% of all seniors are on Facebook. Again, more specific to healthcare, 52% of the 8.2 billion views of healthcare-oriented videos each year on YouTube come from folks that are 45 or older. So you do have people that are in older demographics who are engaging pretty frequently, pretty heavily in digital media. And that's not surprising because other research would suggest that, you know, over 70% of patients search online when experiencing a symptom. And of course, physicians are doing the same thing. 70% of physicians use their smartphones to find dosage or drug information when prescribing. You know, in summary, every brand needs to put real focus on discovering, that's the first D, discovering how their patients and HCPs or physicians get information, how they like to engage with others, and what can influence those decisions. Our goal in Pharma 3D is to get brands to take a disciplined approach to that discovery. And we're agnostic to what that answer ends up being for the brand's patient or physician mix. But we do know that behaviors are changing for many patients and for physicians relative to just a few years ago. And we believe that pharma strategies need to also shift as a result.
The book includes several examples of the, you know, digital marketing from other industries. Do you believe that the pharmaceutical industry can learn by looking closely at these studies, case studies from other industries?
We do think that there are a lot of things that pharma can learn from other industries, and also from our experience and the experience of the others who contributed to the book on best practices. One of the things that's quite common in other industries and that seems totally foreign to pharma is test and learn as a core marketing philosophy. So the pioneers of A/B testing are probably tech companies. And to give you an example of what I'm talking about here, you know, today, you know, you and I, or at least I, don't think at all about the color blue of the text in the buttons in Gmail or Google that we click every time we follow an ad link. But someone needed to decide what shade of blue to make that link. And, you know, was it, you know, three people who sat in a room and debated? It actually wasn't. It was thousands of people who were silently voting. So what I mean by this is Google A/B tested 41 different shades of blue to isolate the perfect one, the one that people would click most often. And when they finally settled on that shade of blue that we are living with today, They calculated that that choice generated in the first year $200 million in incremental revenue relative to the next best choice that they could have gone to. Think about how pharma develops our marketing. We, you know, a bunch of us sit in a windowless room for, you know, 3-4 months working with our agency partners to try to come up with the best campaign possible. And then we put it through MLR review and we don't touch it again ever, right? You know, it's sacrosanct. And that's fine, but, you know, we're leaving significant value on the table in pharma. And so, you know, by talking about methodologies like test and learn and helping to provide a picture for how a pharma company could move from the way our current methodologies to more agile methodologies, which are proven in other industries, our hope is that pharma can uncork some growth that it's leaving on the table. A/B testing is just one element of test and learn, and we subscribe to the philosophy of test and learn just more generally within marketing. Some of the biggest opportunities for test and learn are in launches, because you have to make a lot of assumptions about a brand and about a category before you launch, and some of those assumptions are going to be great, and some of those assumptions are going to be not so great. It's just a fact of life. So the most effective launches that we see are launches where the company has set up a process to take quick feedback from the market, from their sales force, from patient surveys, et cetera, take quick feedback from the market and adjust their approach to quickly sort out which of those assumptions prior to launch were good assumptions and which need to be updated and pivoted from.
Okay, Brian. At this point, I guess we are about running out of time, so I usually ask if you have not been able to mention something that you would like to mention in closing or summarize. Now's a good time to do that.
Sure. Well, if I were to just boil down what's in it for the reader of this book, I mean, we believe that there's a lot of opportunity for pharma to evolve its commercial mix to better fit the way that physicians and their patients live their lives and make decisions today. And you know, many folks in pharma recognize this. They really understand this well, but they also are facing a lot of barriers to change, ranging from entrenched corporate processes to maybe they don't have a clear vision on what they want to change to. Pharma 3D, our ebook at pharma3d.com, provides a how-to guide for those leaders who want to make this evolution with their company. And our aspiration is that it will provide a catalyst for many many marketers to unlock new growth in their brands and in their companies.
Okay, Brian, I'd like to thank you very much for being a guest on the show, and I want to thank my listeners for listening in. Until next time, this is Pharma Guy saying goodbye. Goodbye, Brian. Thanks for being a guest.
Thanks so much. It was my pleasure.